Hey, planet Earth or something? This is your boy Peeps, and thank you for listening to another episode of the People's Forum. Today, we're doing a weekday review, and, you know, this movie has a sequel coming up, so I thought I might throw it out there. I don't have a full review out there of this movie, so I thought I might go ahead and do it and see how it goes. So, yes, today I will be talking about Ant-Man 1. That is the first Ant-Man. It's so new and fresh, it doesn't even have a neat and funky tagline at the end of the title. It's just Ant-Man, the Ant-Man. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and say this. Obviously, if you haven't seen it, I am going to be getting into spoilers, so that's a thing. But I know when I first saw this movie back in the day, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It has been a while since I've actually seen it. I mean, I think I saw it a couple times the first year it came out. And since then, I've been distracted with the other Marvel movies that have came out since then. But yeah, this movie, the first Ant-Man, came out back in, 2015? So, geez, almost 10 years ago. And yeah, directed by Peyton Reed. I know that initially that I did have some concerns with this movie because one of my favorite directors, Edgar Wright, was supposed to be doing it, and he backed out due to creative differences. And me personally, I got a little bit worried. And also, I'll truly be honest, I did not anticipate this movie. I didn't think it was going to be anything. First of all, Ant-Man is a character that I've seen, and I'm talking about the Hank Pym version. He's never been interesting to me. So when I heard it wasn't going to be Hank Pym, and then a lot later during the development, I heard it was going to be Scott Lang. It's like, okay, that could be interesting, but how are you going to do an Ant-Man movie without an Ant-Man origin? So it's like we're just skipping. It's like us doing a Captain America movie without really having Steve Rogers in it. Like, he'll be in it, but, you know, we're going to just have a Captain America movie of just Sam Wilson, you know? So I had some concerns, but when I heard that Paul Rudd was going to be thrown in there, I was like, all right, so even if it's bad, I'm looking forward to Paul Rudd. At that point, I had absolutely loved him from Anchorman and all the other silly movies that he had done since then. Dude, he still looks exactly the same from Clueless, doesn't he? Oh, I know that's the joke. Paul Rudd doesn't age, but dude. Anyways. Yeah, man. After watching this movie again, I have a new appreciation to this movie, and this movie actually jumped up in my Marvel list of movies. Favorite Marvel movies. This movie is a blast and a half, dude. The story, in my opinion, the story is great. Yes, there are a lot of technicalities and things that weren't done that I'll try to bring up in this, but I think overall, man, not even I think, overall, this freaking movie was a great time. I'm still laughing at some of the jokes today. And I think this movie kind of suffered a little bit for the same reason of the second one, Ant-Man and the Wasp, is they're hyping the movie up so much. You know, they show some of the good stuff in the trailers, not all the good stuff, but just some of it. So a lot of it I kind of seen and knew it was coming. Like the one joke where he says, you know, the life of stealing is behind me. What do you want me to do? Well, I'm going to need you to steal stuff. Shit. So, yeah. I don't know, man. It was okay. Or, you know, the spoilers that they gave us in the trailer, you know, it was a little disappointing. But, I mean, how are you going to get folks excited for a movie called Ant-Man? And he's not a pop, in my opinion, I don't think Ant-Man is like a mainstream popular character like, you know, Thor. I mean, I'm not going to say Iron Man. I'll say like the X-Men or Spider-Man, you know? So yeah, they took what they had and they made something really good out of it. I got a really good villain. That's the thing that is incredibly important to me. The Darren Cross in this movie was amazingly terrifying, played by Corey Stroll or Stoll. I love him as a villain. I loved Scott and his friends and his antics. Freaking, like I said, Paul Rudd, I thought he was going to kill it. He absolutely killed it. I didn't know anything about Evangeline Lilly. And yes, I had probably seen her in things, but like, it's not like, oh man, she didn't have that Paul Rudd effect. And man, like, you know, you kind of hate her for a while, Hope, but like you eventually end up really liking the character. At least I did. And man, Hope is a character. If you haven't seen the What If episodes, the animated What Ifs TV show, you don't have to see them all, but one specifically, you could check out the Marvel Zombie. There is a really good Hope arc in that episode. And just kind of watching her in this, you know, seeing her, I don't know, badassery, you know, should have been the one who initially wore the suit. So yeah, man. I guess I can just kind of nerd on and on about just kind of random little blip bloops here and there. You know, I love the Hydra connection that they have in this movie. And that's something that I think a lot of the Marvel movies are lacking now. And again, I'm not going to say that Phase 4 was the strongest phase and it was the best, because it wasn't. I think the idea of Phase 4 is that they're kind of trying to ramp up. And I get it, man. Like if you have every single phase be strong and amazing, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be hard to continuously top yourself, and you're going to create a bit of a formula that people are going to be able to easily like see. And yes, I mean, they already have a formula, but there are things that happened in this movie that I'll get to that, again, like I said, the Hydra connection, that was huge. It was a big thing that they were building up to. And like, the Captain America movie, and the fact that they looped that into this one was really cool. And it wasn't an end of the world kind of scenario. It was the world's going to be a tough place to live in, but definitely not the end of the world kind of thing. They answered the question that people ask in every single movie: what about all of the other characters that exist out there? Why aren't we going to have them help us? And the explanation in this movie was so good. You know, I'm not going to, I spent my whole life trying to get my, my tech, I guess, his formula, his PIM particles, away from a Stark. I'm not just going to hand it to another one, which makes sense because Tony would definitely want in on it. He would definitely want in on it. So yeah. The action. I love the action in this freaking movie. Like when everything goes small, it feels that like it is straight up. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, you know, you could see the particles and the way that they kind of give you that fisheye view of everything, where the characters in the center or the main characters are their normal size. Well, normal portions, but then everything around them will have like a smaller center, but then that, as it expands, it just looks bigger, like incredibly bigger, like blades of grass or like a cell phone or something, you know. It's I really enjoyed it, and I love the humor where like they, oh my gosh, I'll talk about the suitcase scene where they're fighting in the suitcase towards the end of the movie. I really love that scene. They just kind of zooming into the fight, and the fight is all intense and explosions and things are happening. And then they zoom out, and it's just a little suitcase just kind of flopping in the wind and landing in the water, you know. And then they do that so many times where it looks like such a grandiose moment, where, you know, Avengers level moment, and then they'll zoom out, and it's just a Thomas the Train truck or Thomas the Train engine. So yeah, that was really fun. And the, like I said, special effects, when he goes subatomic. That whole moment was super freaky. And the stinger, like, it's crazy, right? Because I know what the stinger is. I've seen it. I've even seen the movie that it's leading into. But watching that stinger at the very end, I'm not talking about the Hope one. I'm talking about the one where you see Bucky, Captain America, and Sam just kind of all together. And then Bucky says, like, I know a guy. Or no, I'm sorry. Sam says, I know a guy. Talking about Ant-Man. And then and then it cuts to black. And then right after that, you see Ant-Man will return. Oh my, I think it says we'll return in the Avengers. Like, oh my gosh, like, what a moment. It's nuts. I actually got chills just watching that scene. I don't know. I'm kind of ranting and raving. I've been going on for, you know, like 8 minutes. But if you haven't seen this movie lately, I highly recommend it. Now, a negative, right? Kind of talking about the negatives. The police, the way that they portray, I should say, the police in this, are just the worst. And that is like a pet peeve, I think, of mine going into all of these superhero movies, Marvel, DC. That is an issue I have with all of them. They make the police seem absolutely inept and incapable of dealing with, I'm not even going to say superhero situations, but any situation. So, for an example, in this movie, Scott gets rearrested when he went to turn the suit back in to Hank. Hope called the police and he got arrested. While in prison, he is visited by Hank Pym. Nobody thought to verify anything, any of this. They just said, hey, your lawyer's here. I could just assume how that interaction went. Hi, sir, who are you? Oh, I am Scott Lang's lawyer. Okay, what's your name? James Lawyerson? All right, checks out. Come on, come back here and I'll put you in the room and we'll get you set up. Nah, I know Hank's got technology. I'm sure he did some things to pull some strings somehow. He got some ants to write his name on the list that he was coming or something. I don't know. I'm sure he did something like that. But so I'm still knocking it. So then Hank pulls him out, you know, gives him the suit, and they don't figure out that, oh, wait, who is that guy? That was Hank Pym. They figure that out like later that night, that Hank was the one that visited Scott right before he escaped. It took them like a week. Maybe it wasn't, but I feel like it took them a week to get this man to try to capture Hank. Like, y'all could have visited his house, you know. You are police, and it sounds like you have enough probable cause to get a warrant to go to his house. And, whoo, hey, we're in your house. Here also is Scott Lang. You know, I don't know. Just, and then, oh my gosh. And then they get out of their cop car. They don't lock it. I guess they leave the keys in it too. Maybe they don't, but they get out of the cop car and they go to arrest Hank at the, I don't want to call it a gala, but at the demonstration at the end of the movie. And T.I. creates a distraction by breaking into the cop car, which, okay, maybe I missed that, but maybe he jimmied it open and hot-wired the car. But he ends up stealing the car, so they're like, whoa! So then they run back towards the car, and they just leave their suspect. Like, this is a potential suspect of an escaped prisoner. He's pretty important. John, stay here with Hank. Cuff him. I'm going to go get the car. Instead, they both just, let me go get the car. Get back here, you big miscreant. I don't know. So then they go run after the car, and then Hank escapes. So then T.I. just kind of like, dashes the car. Stashes the car and then escapes and then, you know, runs around full circle back to the van. So then the cops find the van and then end up opening up and they're about to arrest the two dudes in the van. And then like an explosion or something happens, or a gunshot's happened in the actual building. And then the cops are like, oh my gosh, let's go. And then they leave again. And then they leave their new, again, prisoners. They just leave them on the ground for them to just get up and walk away. It's like, I get what there is a lot of chaos, but like, y'all need to start prioritizing things. And y'all need to multitask, like cuff them to the car or something and then go handle it. You know, call backup, first of all. I don't know, man. So, yeah. It's silly cops doing silly things. I just thought that was ridiculous. Yeah. So I don't know. So just kind of getting back into this movie. You know, a lot of things that I like about it, a lot of moments, as I said, funny, special effects, just implementation of action. There's a lot of CGI hokiness going on, but it just didn't quite feel like a CGI mess, in my opinion. I'm, you know, this is me. You felt the CGI moment, but it wasn't like Aquaman, where it was just a bunch of like, you know, fishmen just flying at each other underwater. The villain was amazing, a thing that is very important when it comes to a superhero movie. A superhero is only as good as his villain. Say that all the time. And I will say it again. Darren Cross was amazing. Though, pet peeve that bothered me when I first saw this movie, and that bothers me today. And if you guys haven't seen the movie in a while, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. But trust me when I say this was absolutely obnoxious. But when Cross boogers the guy in the bathroom that doesn't agree with his methods, he just immediately boogers him, turns him into a booger. The way that he picks up the dude that turned into a booger was just obnoxious. Like, he just smeared it on the ground. Like, you're freaking adult. You have a tissue, you wipe, but as you wipe, you slowly pull it upwards and you go in a circle, and then you squish it in the middle, and then you use the, like, just freaking wipe it off. Don't smear it around. Oh, that was so obnoxious to me. What are you talking about? That didn't even happen. No, trust me, it happened. It's the worst scene in the entire movie. But yeah, point is, a lot of things that I like about the movie. The thing that I like about the movie the most is what drives Scott Lang. Another important thing I think that all superheroes need. You know, Peter Parker, he's trying to do the right thing. You know, we don't quite know what happened between Uncle Ben, if that is what drove him to be the superhero he is today, if he's just a kid that just wants to do the right thing with what he has. You know, we don't quite know, but like, everybody has their own drive. Tony, his ego. Captain America is just trying to do the right thing. That is his thing. He always just needs to do the right thing, what he feels is right. Even if the world thinks it's wrong, if he feels it's right, Captain America is going to do it regardless. But Ant-Man, or Scott Lang's drive, is 159% his daughter. And I love that. Being a father, I get it. He would do anything. And what drove him to want to even steal from Hank, which he didn't know was Hank at the time, in the first place, was the fact that he wasn't going to be able to see his daughter for a year. And, you know, we go into, I'll nitpick a bit. I can't stand when they make ex-wives this cliche archetype, the Mrs. Doubtfire ex-wife that is like, you're never going to see the kids because you're the worst person in the world. When in fact, they're not the worst person in the world. Yes, they may be a little off, but like, I'm pretty sure they're the same person that you met. Like, it's not like they went from, you know, goody two shoes to like Captain Kills a Lot, you know? I don't know. Like, they said that Scott stole from a company that was stealing from its customers. So Scott stole from that company millions of dollars And he didn't keep it. He redistributed that money back to the people. Okay, great. Yes, I get it. You should be mad at him because he made a poor decision that interrupted everybody's lives. But like, she was just on him like, you are just the worst kind of criminal. And I can't stand that, because it makes us dislike her and hate her, when like, I don't think we need to hate her or dislike her as a character. At the end of the movie, we like her, and in Ant-Man 2 we like her, but just that moment at the birthday party, you're not supposed to be here, Scott. Well, it's just my daughter, man. I just want to see my daughter. Like, he just wants to see his daughter. Oh, you know, you're not supposed to be here, Scott, but just today. And after tonight, we got to talk. And then, you know, what you did hurt me. It hurt Cassie. We had nothing. You were the bread maker. And then you left me to fend for myself. So I did what I had to do for me and our daughter. And I'll never forgive you for that. You know, so, like, something to show, like, she is upset with him. And she, you know, has a new husband. So she fell out of love with him. Like, I'm okay with all that. Just don't make her an evil step witch like they did. At least that's how I felt. But yeah, I'm back to my, you know, sorry I digressed. But everything Scott does is for his daughter. Everything. And I love that. And I especially love that coming into the Quantumania movie, because he has been proposed with a decision that has to do with his daughter. Now, I know a lot of you haven't watched the trailer, so I'm not going to spoil that, I promise. But decision has been given to him. And knowing Scott's history, knowing what Scott has been through, like, yeah, that is an amazing, I think, plot for the Quantumania movie. This man, I think Scott will do a lot of dark things potentially for his daughter, and we may even see that side of him depending on what happens. So yeah, I love it. There's a couple of really good quotes in this movie. I'm so excited about talking about everything. I'm probably not even going to. Oh, yeah. And then even that, too, like going like in terms of like motivation, like Hank, like freaking Michael Douglas, like, you know, classic. I won't say classic actor because that makes him sound like a car. But I don't know. Well-renowned actor, Michael Douglas. From what I understood, I don't know how true this is, but he was going to quit acting prior to this movie. And for some reason, it just brought him back into acting. I think he retired and brought him back into it. And he's going to be in 3 Ant-Man movies since then. So, yeah, they said something nice to him. And I'm assuming he's having a good time. But, yeah. So, and what drives him now? I don't like the split between him and Hope, but I do. You know, it feels bad, but it's important. And they come to a better place pretty early in this movie. Like, it's about, you know, it's about what, like 60% through, or maybe even 75% through the movie. But, you know, they get to a really good spot, and you get to hear the truth about what Hank has really been up to, what he's been doing, what's been pushing him, why he has given up the Ant-Man suit, and also because of a person, because of his wife. He lost her due to his technology. He doesn't want his daughter messing with his technology, and he doesn't even mess with anymore. He says it's taking its toll on me, and I don't know what that means. We don't know what that means, right? Like, what is that? I don't know. We'll see. But there are other things too that has kind of confused me, but I'm very curious. Now, what do you think? So, Darren Cross, the villain, there's a moment where Hope says to him, Darren, you're acting crazy. You're acting out. You're doing things you wouldn't normally do. It's the how does she say it? Like, it's the particles altering your brain chemistry. But that was before he had even used any of the suit. He hadn't shrunk himself. So what particles is she talking about that is messing up with his brain chemistry? It's just, it feels like it's, if you're going to write that into a movie, like, there obviously needs to be a reason. And I'm sure there's a lot of you out there like, oh, it's because of the thing, peeps. He shrunk so many of those sheep. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe he's eating some of the boogers that he's creating. I don't know. But how the heck has his brain already been altered by the pin particles if he hasn't shrunk yet? So at the end of the movie, when, dude, such a good moment, funny moment, when Scott is normal size and teeny tiny Yellow Jacket's flying at him and he gets a ping pong paddle and he knocks him into a bug zapper. Scott then gets arrested and the camera is slowly panning into Yellow Jacket inside of the bug zapper. And he's caught in between these two little metal rods. And then you see like the electric circuit kind of jolt through his body and it kind of wakes him up a little bit. And then he just screams this blood-curdling, "Rawr!" Oh my gosh, that moment gave me chills. Like, that scream was anger, it was pain, it was insanity. Like, it said so freaking much. I love that moment. So after that moment, I do see that I can see, him having a messed up head because of the whatever, but not before that. Good moment, good scene. Great hero, great motivations, and I love it. Now, the thing in the comic that they would always show is that when there's a little Easter egg slash cool moment that they threw in there, when they would shrink, the way that the comic panel would look is that you would see like different versions of him as he went from big to small. It'd be like big, semi-big, not so big, not so big-ish. What? Large, medium, schmedium, small, Just it have like a bunch of lines and it'll be all in one panel. But they do that in this movie when they shrink, and I like that. It's a neat little Easter egg and it's cool how they do it in the movie. I'm just like thinking about all like the fun moments. It's just this movie was a really good time. As I said, it definitely moved up in my list. But it hasn't moved. It didn't move that high because the movies that are in front of it are like some of the classics that it's hard for me to put this one over. But geez, I think I freaking might, because I really, really had a good time watching this movie again. Luis and his stories, dude. So my cousin, he was talking to his girlfriend and she told him, "Hey, man, I got a job for you." It's so good. It's just so good. I love how this movie's written. And I wonder how much, and obviously not that, but I wonder how much of it like was ad-libbed. I know it's a thing that Paul Rudd does in some of his movies. I'm sure maybe it was just him that did a lot of it, but I don't know. As I said, those three characters, what were their names? Dave, was T.I., I'm not going to see him anymore. Luis, and what was the Russian guy's name? I don't remember. Kurt. They barely did anything, but, those three were freaking fantastic. I remember, I'm not going to get into the second one, but, I don't know. I love those guys. I remember the moment when, at the end of the movie, when they pull up to Scott's house and all the cops are there and they're just like, "Back it up, just back up. Back it up. We're backing on up. Back up." I don't know. This is a funny moment for me. Just wanted to let that out there. Going into Scott and his love for Cassie, he like visits her that one night when she's sleeping just to give her a kiss on the forehead. That was such a beautiful moment, dude. Like, definitely would do that. Definitely. If I'm not allowed to see my daughter, like, I would be there in a heartbeat. And I wouldn't want to make a scene. So, yeah, man. Like, just love that scene. Shoot, man. Scott versus the Falcon. Like, I didn't expect that. They didn't show that in the movie. This is a DC movie. They would have shown that. But, like, how dope is it? Like, the little reveal, like, hey, you remember you said this place was abandoned? It's not. And then at that moment, you see the Avengers symbol and you hear the burp, 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 burp. Oh my gosh, man. So exciting. The fight was fun. It was cool with the seeing how Scott fights for the first time, how he shrinks and gets big. And then, he kind of disables the suit and Falcon's like, hey, man, don't tell Steve about this. Just a good moment. And yes, a good fun moment. But like, that moment had meaning. Like, Scott was very nice and polite the whole time. Like, I'm sorry, I don't want to do this. I don't want to fight you, but I really need something. I really need help to save the world. And so like, Falcon can see that he's a good dude. But at the same time, man, you're kind of breaking into the Avengers, one of the Avengers facilities. So I'm not going to just let you off. We're going to straighten this out. For him to lose to him. And then at the end of the movie, when Luis is telling him this other story, yeah, what do you know about people that shrink? We got a lot of people. We got people that swing. We got people that jump. We got people that climb. What are you looking for? I'm looking for a person that can shrink. I don't know, man. Like, it made sense. It paid off, and it even paid off leading into the next movie when Sam says, I know a guy. So, beautiful. Just, I love that moment. So good. Going back into talking about Darren a little bit and his badassery and amazingness. He is, gosh, like, I don't want to say the perfect villain because he's not. But he is an amazing villain. Like, he is definitely a character that I love to hate. He is intelligent because he knows what's going on. He knows what Hope is doing. He knows what Hank is doing. And the movie does a great job at making you think that he's about to say, Hope, I know what you're doing. But right before he does it, he goes and says, I'm glad you're on my team, Hope. And then you're like, oh, and then Hope is like, oh, or then he shows up in Hank's house, dude, with everybody celebrating that Avengers moment. And then he's just there and you're like, oh, snap. And then Hope is like, she's going to kill him. great moment. And then again, you think he knows what Hank's doing and he does, but it's not revealed to the audience at that point. Just friggin' fantastic. And then he calls Hope. They do the same thing again. You think he knows, and then he's like, I'm glad I got you on my team, Hope. I don't know, man. So good. I also like that Darren is basically Hank Pym, right? Like, Hank says that at one point in the movie. In a moment that I don't understand, because Hank says, Darren asks, hey, what did you see in me? Hank says, I saw myself. And he's like, well, why'd you push me away? And then Hank says, I saw too much of myself. Well, you can kiss my ass, Hank, because that's a dumbass reason. I am sorry. I hired you because you were good. I fired you because you were too good. Shut up. It's such a stupid line. I hate it. But whatever. But I don't know what that means. You're too much like me. Because Hank was a visionary. He created something that nobody else has been able to create. And unfortunately, his technology meant the demise of his wife. But like, that's because she made a choice to sacrifice herself. It's not like the technology was faulty. She just made the ultimate sacrifice. I don't understand why Hank is so, I don't know, anti-Darren, I guess, up to that point. And Darren potentially could have been a good guy, but because Hank had pushed him away the way that he did and lied to him, despite him feeling like he knew the truth, Darren turned to the dark side, I guess. You know, he was desperate. He wants to figure out this technology. He can't. So he, you know, he kind of just said, you know what? F it. F ethics. F all that. And you can tell in that one scene where they're sacrificing the animals. And Hope says, I thought we were using mice. And Darren is like, what's the difference? You know, because Darren, in Darren's mind, whether if I'm sacrificing a mouse or I'm sacrificing a cute baby sheep, like it's, he doesn't look at life, I guess, at this point, the way that anybody else does. So, neat moment, I think. Yeah, so, and then when he finally gets into the suit, and yes, we can be upset about, oh, wow, we got a superhero fighting the exact same version of himself, and essentially, yes, but also, not really. And, like, I'm being a hypocrite with this statement. But how fair is it to say that the Ant-Man suit and the Yellow Jacket suit are the same thing? I think the only similarities that both of those suits have is that they can both shrink. Outside of that, the suits are completely different. The Yellow Jacket suit can fly. The Ant-Man suit cannot. The Yellow Jacket suit has lasers and like arms that it can grab and smack things with. And the Ant-Man suit does not. And then the Ant-Man suit has the capability of connecting and communicating with ants. It would have been cool if they would hint that he can communicate with more than just ants. And there's a reason why he specifically focuses on ants. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's implied, but that would have been neat if that's implied. This is blah, blah, blah frequency that can speak with like most insects. But my favorite are ants because ants are cool. I don't know. But yeah, like the suits are quite different. Different enough that I'm like, to say that Jean-Claude Van Damme in the movie Kickboxer fighting Tong Po, which is also a kickboxer. Oh man, the heroes always just face against the same exact version of themselves. They're more alike in that movie because they're both kickboxers. I mean, one's an American French guy. The other one's a, I assume, Taiwanese, Thailand, Thai fighter. But, you know, and also, maybe I'm comparing kickboxing and Muay Thai. Peeps, those are two completely different. I know they are. I'm sure they are. But they're both dope, is all I'm saying. Anyways, I do think the Yellow Jacket and Ant-Man suit, like I said, completely are pretty different. So, you know, makes Yellow Jacket, I think, a lot more menacing to face up against. You can even compare like Black Panther, like Killmonger and Black Panther are literally exactly the same. And then you want to go to Iron Man. I don't really think that Iron Man and the Iron Monger are exactly the same. The Iron Man suit should be technically a better suit. But the issue is that Iron Man, his like power core was taken out. So he only has his backup generator that he made when he was in the prison. So. All right. I'm gonna stop comparing everything. I'm just saying they're pretty different, but I love the Yellow Jacket suit also, is what I'm saying. I really hope that Yellow Jacket is connected to the Quantumania. I know there's a lot of people on the internet that are confirming this, and I kind of had a theory about this that Friggins myself and Bri spoke about a while ago, but that MODOK is, yeah, the Darren. So, you know, we'll see. The way that he shrunk, his head was one of the last things to shrink. So I would totally, I could totally see that being the thing. Yeah, let's see. Now, I mean, I guess I kind of talked a little bit about, going back into the negatives, right? It was just a moment for like a moment, a 5-second moment when Hank has a tank in his keychain. It's cool, right? And then he grows the tank and launches, and they launch themselves out of a building. Okay? And this tank flies off of the fifth floor and just does a pop a willy out of the, and then just lands on the ground. I don't know how tanks are built. I'm assuming they're built like a tank. But I don't think tanks are built, are made to do a pop a willy off of the fifth floor of a building, land on the ground, and then just keep going like it's a normal day. I feel like the thing would just turn into a pancake. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but it was dope and stupid. Not a lot I can say in terms of dislikes with this movie. Just a couple little nitpicks, sure, but even like Scott connecting with a freaking ant. Antony, you guys know what I'm talking about. And when Antony dies, which was a stupid death too, by the way. You know, we're doing nitpicks, right? Like, Darren sees a bunch of insects flying at him, so he gets a gun and he shoots. He shoots at the cloud of insects, and one bullet just so happens to hit Antony. Aww, you know, sad moment. Antony, no. But you actually, right? Like, don't you actually have like a bit of feeling for that, for a freaking ant that they didn't really, it wasn't like the ant in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, you had some straight emotion for that ant. I can't remember what that ant was called. Anton? I don't know. I think it was Anton. No. But, yeah. Stupid scorpions. Anyways, ant, getting us to, yeah, just, I know what I was saying. The way that they utilize ants, like being a bug nerd growing up, I really liked and appreciated all the ants stuff and the accuracy in some of it. Oh my gosh, what was that line that he said? It was when he was doing the heist at the end of the movie, and he drops one of the ants and he says, I'm deploying the bullet ant. Amanaparamaptapamanarnamara. I don't know what it's called, but I feel sorry for this guy. Or something. I don't know. That was a great scene. I love that. Like the whole heist, you know, and I know that's my buddy Friggins. He has a thing for heist movies. I don't care for heist movies. But when I say I don't care, that's not a negative. I'm just saying, like, it being a heist movie doesn't give a movie any pluses or negatives. Just like a Western doesn't give me any pluses or negatives. It's just a plot line, right? No, setting. There it is. It's just a film setting. So, I mean, everywhere from the little ant craft that they made, that I know that freaking, what are they called? Fire ants can do, cause they freaking live in the rainforest. Just the effects that it looked when they were frying the circuits, when he was frying the circuits in the server room, he's just like flying on Antony with his epic music, and it looked like almost like a Star Wars moment where he's just flying through the electric currents, just exploding all over. It was a really cool scene, a really cool moment. Again, I talk about the special effects in this movie, and I absolutely love them. It was such a fun time. I'm definitely, you know, just kind of thinking about it, like, I'm definitely going to show my littles this movie very soon. Just, it was a fun movie, and I think they would like it. And yeah, so again, if you haven't seen this movie, I just recommend just watch it again, just for the honor of Grayskull, and for the honor of just watching Ant-Man 1 before Ant-Man 3. So, yeah, Palma Hamma Ropta Hamma Moptra. A couple things, right? A couple bit tits I'm curious about. So, Hank's company, it was his company, but he was pushed out of because of his daughter's vote on the board. This is weird, right? I don't know much about companies, but you can just be pushed out of your own company, sure. So does this mean that the company, because the company literally got absorbed into nothingness, I hope nobody's in that building, by the way, but the building is gone. Does that mean that the company doesn't exist anymore because they don't have a building? Because I haven't heard anything about PimTech. Right? It was going to be changed to Darren Tech or something. I don't know, but I haven't heard anything about that since then. So I guess the company's just gone, right? Because the building's gone? You could assume that, maybe? I don't know. I feel like that's a stupid reason to close your company down. What? You just lost your building and all your research? Exactly. All of the organic creatures that Darren shrinks, quote unquote, but they just turn into a pile of goo. Do we think that they are essentially dead, or have they been shrunken into the Quantumverse? I don't think so. I hope there's not a whole bunch of mutated goats down in the Quantumverse. But if that is a thing, we may see Frank again, the guy that was turned into a booger in the in the bathroom. I don't know. I don't remember Ant-Man 2, and I don't want to review it next week, but whatever happened to Cassie's pet, giant pet ant? Like, at the end of the movie, she's feeding it under the table. Like, does she still have it? Like, why isn't she just riding it around, like going to school? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think it'll be cool to just keep that creature around. Like, it would make sense that the Pym family has a pet ant, a giant pet ant. I don't know. I know later on they probably, it's because that they ended up just shrinking it back to the normal. Maybe, but just keep the freaking pet. That's all I'm saying. Let's see, that moment, it was kind of cool, you know, where Hope was controlling the ants. You know, it's just a way to just, I was mentioning earlier, just Hope is a badass. She should have been the one to use the Ant-Man suit. The fact that Hank even has a whole suit waiting for her at the house. This is your mom's. Shut up. No, it's not. No, it wasn't. Tell me that this is her mom's and you kept it for what? 30, 40 years? Just sitting in that same spot? I'm just kidding, just in case your mom came back. Shut up. You know what you were going to do with that. Has little boob fittings and everything. That's a woman's suit, sir. And it fits your daughter exactly. You made that for her. Just lying to yourself. Don't lie to me. Lie to yourself. But, yeah. I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's really all I want to kind of go over. Just fantastic movie. I can't go on enough about how much I love the humor and the special effects in this movie, but geez, man, it was so much fun. And that was something I kind of missed from the second movie. Like, I don't remember them being in shrunken land at all. I mean, they would shrink and they'd dodge a knife and then they would grow and then hit somebody. But it wasn't like this one where, like, Scott was hanging out with ants underground, or he was doing the heist and he was shrunken for an extended period of time. I don't remember that at all from the second one. It might be a thing. I just don't recall it. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see when we rewatch it. Yeah, we'll see. But, all in all, definitely give this movie, all the stars you can possibly give it. I love this movie. I love it a lot. You know, people want to bash and talk about superhero films all they want, but this is a good superhero film. It was fun. It had a good story. It had great acting, had great humor, had great effects. There's just the little things that, yes, you can nitpick on with the police and their ineptitudeness. Yeah, I 100% get it. And the evil ex-wives, like, yeah, no, I get the beef with that. But yeah, man, Just cannot freaking wait for Quantumania. And the fact that we have same director coming back for it. At least I hope. I'm pretty sure he is, right? Peyton, what's his name? Peyton Reed? Yeah. Yep, he's coming back. So, yeah, man. Yeah. So, I think that's all I got for you guys. I was pausing a lot there at the end. I was trying to get my brain to process all the things I wanted to talk about, and I think we're good. So, as always, thank you guys for listening. I do a Marvel / DC Cinematic Monday every week. If you don't know, check that out. If you like this kind of stuff, I'm definitely going to be going through all the Marvel movies. I started this back when the WandaVision time, so tons of Marvel movies I haven't done reviews for. So I'm playing a bit of catch up with that. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. You can check me out on reddragonsradio.com. Recently, we've done a entire list of movies we liked from 2022 and then anticipated movies in 2023. So if you like that kind of thing, check that out. It's on the YouTubes. It's on the site I just gave you, Red Dragons Radio. So, yeah. I'm on the internets. I'm on the Twitters. Check me out for my peoples at Twitter. And if you want to listen to this on Spotify or iTunes, if you prefer that. I'm on a bunch of different little platforms. So, yeah. All right, y'all. Well, that is it. That'll do it. I hope I didn't ramble too much, but I had a good time, and I hope you guys had a good time with me. Yeah. So, I appreciate you. I hope y'all stay green. Take it easy, and I'll catch y'all later. All right, then. Deuces.
People's Entertainment.
Yeah.
Red Dragons.